sitting in for Earl Ingram, the Earl Ingram Show. This is the first hour of today's show, even though it seems like it might be the second hour. We had a repeat for the first hour. We had a little bit of a technical glitch that caused us to work ourselves backwards into yesterday. Today I've got Scott Williams here with me again today. Scott, how are you?
Good morning.
Connor, how do folks call into the show?
You can call 844-967-2789.
And was that another piece of your music we just heard? I think it was.
Yeah, I mean...
What was that? That one wasn't called Dirty Walk, was it?
No, Dirty Walk. No, that one's called Burn. It's a love song.
Oh, so that's not got a dance.
Yeah, it doesn't have a dance. It has a spoken word outro.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
It was cool. Cool. Yeah. So we've been talking about complexity and how it is that the complexity of life and the complexity of the world today has been simplified for us, and maybe we as a people have been disabled or are not able to go out and pursue an analysis of the situation to ask ourselves why sufficiently, so that the way we get spoon-fed the answer to the question why ends up creating bias, ends up being essentially propaganda, ends up misleading us with conspiracy theories, ends up making us vulnerable to all kinds of reactions that are possibly emotionally driven and not factually driven because of the way we reach for the answer to why.
But you have to remember, too, I mean, so many people in our society don't have, they feel they actually don't, or they feel they don't have the time and energy to actually, you know, invest the time to go and receive good information to arrive at an answer to a question of why, which is why we're all falling victim to repeatedly, like finding this, you know, like you talked about earlier, the silver bullet, the answer to problems,
yeah,
or a solution that has three bullet points, and then that's the end of it. And because we want things to have, when we do have a question, we want easy access to information that gives us an answer to our question. And that opens the door to people accepting arguments that don't have any bearing on fact or reality.
Yeah, I mean, some people call it dumbing down, but I mean, I think the public is interested in simplified, you know, the bottom line. We've all gotten used to saying, come on, give me the bottom line. What's the answer? What's the story here? And of course, the bottom line skips through all of the detail and all of the factual complexities, and the bottom line can be skewed entirely by how it is that someone decides to, or from what bias someone decides to analyze the bottom line. Why do we have poverty in the inner city? Some people would say, well, it's because those people don't know how to work, you know, and that they aren't working, or it could be a whole set of other analyses. But that bottom line that they get to is what seems to make all the difference in our society, and yet the process of analysis is really the most important part of the process, because the bottom line is going to be that people can analyze the same set of facts and they can possibly reach different conclusions, but to the extent that they can analyze the same set of facts, they're more likely to reach something like a common ground about what the situation is. And
depending on their motivations.
Well, but the motivation, you know, I tend to diminish in my mind the extent to which people have ill-conceived motivations. I think most people have motivations that are lofty, but some of the circumstances in their life make it more difficult for them to implement or to understand what the actions are that will reflect lofty motives.
So you're talking about everyone but politicians in America.
Well, politicians. I mean, there are people who obviously have biases, and some of those biases, you know, politicians would tell you and might even believe that they're out there to accomplish good, and that what's so important about them getting reelected is that they're such good people that they need to be in office so that they can accomplish their good for the public good.
But if we have a collection of things that they themselves have said over time that show that they're not good, then how do we?
Well, that's a different story.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It is complex,
isn't it?
It is. That's one of the complicated. That's one of the complexities. But you know, I think this problem of complexity is actually not understood sufficiently by the public at large, and their desire to have the bottom line fed to them creates so many problems.
I mean, I can say that I'm included in this. You know, there's a lot about what politicians are supposed to be doing. Certainly, Congress, members of Congress, you know, negotiating ideas, you know, developing policies and bills that then can become laws, you know, and from the outside looking in, you know, it seems that the job of the of politicians in their own mind has become to stick it to the other side and do that in any way possible. And so they're walking around doing things that we don't perceive to even actually be their job. Their job is to negotiate, find common ground, and to develop policies that would help the people that need help, but they don't do that in either party.
Yeah, but you understand that that's driven by a sense of righteousness that the party that they represent is so important to the outcome, to the outcomes that they think are important for the American scene, for the American culture. You know, it will always be presented to you by those who reflect the broad party view that they're carrying a very important mission in their quiver. On the conservative side, they might say it's Christian nationalism. It's the fabric of Americanism and American society. And on the liberal side, they would tell you that it's protecting those who are in need and those without a voice. You know, they have a broad sense of the righteousness of what they're pursuing.
Yeah, but most of those people
in the ends justify the means.
And most of those people in both parties are people in their, you know, 70s and 80s leading both parties. Those sensibilities are not shared in people in generation like Z, you know, even I'd say through generation X, there's a commonality in some of those sentiments to an extent, but certainly the younger generation coming to mind, like, you know, people in the baby boomers, you know, you guys worked for one corporation or one firm or, you know, whatever it was, and you had these careers, you're able to buy homes, things like that. The generation now is not experiencing that.
Well, I think that's another thing.
Expectations of politicians are changing, and it's morphing right now.
Yeah, I think in the rest of the show, we'll try to focus on specific issues, but I think we've identified that there are these different vantage points that come at this question of why, and also come at the question of, or the issue of what kind of means do people utilize to achieve the ends that they identify out of this whole pursuit of why and what is important. We've got another break coming up.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll come back shortly. And I don't know what
we can talk to a younger generation and Connor. We'll get Connor's input.
Well, we can get Connor. We can get him to decipher. What do we got? 50 seconds here,
yeah,
Connor.
We got about 40 or no.
Well, we don't have to count it down. We'll, Sandy Williams, son Scott Williams here. We're here talking about today. We intend to talk about issues, the general issues of the day, but we intend to look at them by trying to dissect the extent to which their complexity has caused us to oversimplify the answers we're getting and the way we're looking at them. We'll be back after the break.